Okay, so we're in Hilchos Deos, right? And we're really up to Halacha Bet. And there are really two issues here in terms of, but the overall issue that we're going to get into now is not only how I eat and how I sleep, but how the day is supposed to start. So, right? So one of the questions that we had, if you look at Halacha Bet, okay? So it says, Lo yochal adam ad shetitmalei kreiso. Ela yifchot kmo revia misavato. You shouldn't eat until you're full. This is a very difficult thing to do because we're used to whatever I want, I get. Right? But you're actually supposed to leave yourself wanting a little more. Okay? This is, by the way, a healthy energy to bring into your life in general. Right? Give me another example where stepping away from an experience wanting more is a good thing. Okay. And feeling that you've gotten enough is not a good thing, yeah?
Spending time in your life, I guess.
Okay, spending time with people that you care about, yeah? You should always want to spend more time with them, that's true. If you get to the point, you know, if I'm sitting with one of you guys and you're listening to me and we're talking and you get to that point where, like, okay, you've had enough and then you sit another 10 minutes, that's not good. Right? If it cuts short a little bit and you wish you had more time or I wish I had more time, I guess that's a good thing. Right? Any other examples? Davening is an interesting one. Could you actually get to the point where you wish you had more time to daven?
Yes, no.
Okay? Yes, you can.
I mean, you can, but it's not a healthy thing to do.
You think it's not? Why is it not a healthy thing to do?
Because, I mean...
The Gemara disagrees with you, by the way. Pardon? I didn't say to want to spend all day davening, although even there the Gemara disagrees with you. Gemara in Brachos says, halavai ve'adam yitpalel kol hayom kulo. Would that a person...
It's a want rather than do. Like, if you eat too much till you're satiated, till you're completely full, that's not healthy. But to want to eat till you're satiated, even after you're so eating, to want to eat more, that's healthy.
Right. In other words, if you, yeah?
Well, in regards to feel like it's not foolish, but like, I actually do personally, like, I don't like davening minyan because I need more time to say my tefillah and connect with it. So, like, I always want more time slot. Like, for mincha, for instance, it's, like, too short for me to minyan. So, like, I want more, you know, of the time slot.
Okay, I'll be honest. On occasion, I'll be in, like, Shemoneh Esrei or something and I'll wish I had a little more time. But for me, the only time I know that I regularly feel this is on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there are certain instances where you just, or whatever it might be. Any experience that you have where you wish you had more and you don't have the time to give it the more is not such a bad thing if it's a positive experience. That's true for the physical, right? Like, you shouldn't wake up when you're so exhausted that you can't move. That means something's wrong. It's usually because you're going to sleep too late, but something's wrong. That's not the healthy way to sleep. But to wake up in the morning, right, and have to use an alarm clock means that you could sleep more if you wanted to and that you wish you had more time to sleep, but you force yourself out of bed. That's not such a bad thing. And to me, especially Talmud Torah, like if you can get to the point where you're learning and you're really into it, and then whatever comes along that you have to stop, and you walk away from your learning and you wish you had more time, that's a good feeling. In fact, when you have that experience, if you have that experience, you should savor that moment, because that's what learning should be. Learning should be that you wish you didn't have to stop. That's the problem. That's why, by the way, the best and the most real learning is actually in Chavrusa time. Because by definition, when you're sitting in a shir, right? So tonight, like, we'll do a Parsha shir. So we'll share a piece of an idea, and we'll get to the end of the idea, at least for what we want to say, and you feel like you completed it, right? But when you're learning b'chavrusa, there isn't a limit, there isn't an end. Like, you get up at 12:45 because you have to daven mincha, whatever it is, or 12:30. But really, it should be that you want more. So I'm not sure that this is only about food, but the Rambam specifically here is talking about unhealthy. You know, you go out to a restaurant, and they give you a manah, they give you an order, and it's a steak. And you're 2/3 through the way of the steak, and you feel pretty full, but you could still eat a little more, right? And usually you finish the whole thing because you paid for it. And hey, you know, I paid, right? But whether or not up here that last little piece of steak is so critical to your human existence, right? And I'm not even sure the Rambam is talking about that, because is there an element of Baal Tashlis there? But if you're sitting at home, or you're sitting in the dorm, or you're sitting at breakfast with 40 pieces of French toast, and you know that you could eat 9, right? But you stop at 6, and you're still a little hungry, I'm not so sure that's such a bad thing. That's what the Rambam is saying here. I do not know how to measure what the Rambam says, which is revia misovato. I've given up trying to figure that out. I've read different Pirushim, and if anybody comes up with a good explanation, let me know. But that's what the Rambam says, a quarter of your satisfying. You know, if you know that you normally eat two full burgers and that's what makes you satisfied, so have a burger and a quarter and a half. Right? That may be one way of doing it. Now this is interesting. The Rambam says that you don't drink a lot of water while you're eating. It interferes with the digestive process, and it mixes up two kinds of eating. This is one of those examples of whether or not the Rambam and modern medicine jive. There are different opinions on this. The Rambam is not saying you shouldn't drink a lot of water. The Rambam is just saying you don't drink that lot of water when you're eating. I once heard an explanation from somebody who's a doctor that says that what happens when you drink a lot of water is it sends a message to the brain that you're satisfied, right? And that's why people use water to diet, because you trick your brain into thinking that you're satisfied, but you're not getting the energy, the calories, et cetera, that you need. And if you're actually eating for your meal what you need, as opposed to just stuffing your face, then the water gets in the way of you satiating yourself to the amount that you need to be satiated, and that may be. And by the way, it's not an accident that anorexics drink a lot of water, because they succeed in somehow satiating themselves and going through their day without sort of enough energy. So that may have to do with the Rambam here. I don't believe, by the way, that the Rambam is using this as an allegory. So I don't want you to think that I think that the Rambam is using this as an allegory. But I do think that all of these ideas, whenever Hashem sort of imprints a physical idea, that there are deeper messages, you know, that we can learn from them. And that's an interesting question. What's the water that you don't mix with the food? That's an interesting question, but okay. And when the food starts to become well digested, then eat, have a little bit of water, right? When you finish eating, when you feel like now it's time to digest, right? I mentioned this the other day, that there's a 15-minute lapse between the time you swallow your food, the time the brain gets the digestive message, so you should allow time for like courses to digest themselves. You see this in Shabbos, that's why he sings Mirot and all sorts of things in between the courses, because you have a chance to digest, whatever. That's when you drink the water, right? V'lo yarbel ishtot mayim. You don't have to drink too much water. V'afilu kshitakel mazon, even when the food is digested. V'lo yochal ad sheyivdok atzmo yafe yafe, shema yetzarich linkavav. And you shouldn't eat until you're sure that you don't have to relieve yourself. Now that's interesting, right? And this relates to something we started to talk about yesterday. There is an idea that we once mentioned in a different context. My wife used to do real estate, and I was on my way home from a trip, and I was, you know, looking for something that I could bring home as a gift. So I went to a bookstore, and I found this book on Feng Shui. I think I mentioned this once. And I'd never heard what Feng Shui was, but it was in the real estate section. So I thought it was interesting. So I picked it up. And it's basically this book by a woman called Karen Kingston, which if anyone wants to borrow, I have to think it's an amazing book. I'm not advocating feng shui per se, because I think there's a little bit of a avodah zarah in feng shui, but I think there are some interesting ideas. And this woman's premise basically is that the space that you occupy, right, your space says a lot about who you are. Like take, for example, your home, right? So you pick your home, you choose your home, you buy your home, you decorate your home, right? So for example, if your home is full of clutter, it means that on a certain level, you're full of clutter. And what's interesting is that feng shui would suggest that if you clean up the clutter in your space, you actually allow room to clean up the clutter in your life. And this is true. If you ever have like one of those days where you just feel a need and you clean out your cupboards and organize room, you feel a different energy. You feel like a good energy, like you got rid of your stuff, right? And if you walk into a person's space and it's like, you know, Krakatoa east of Java or Hiroshima, and it's all cluttered up, it means that inside of them there is clutter. What's fascinating about this woman's perspective is that if you clean up the clutter in your space, you actually make room to clean up the clutter in your life. And there are all sorts of deeper ideas here. And by the way, the Gemara has all sorts of comments that support this idea. But what's interesting about this is that this is true in every aspect of the physical world. In any space and place in the physical world that you find that there is stuff that essentially is clutter or garbage, it's healthy to remove it. And that's true for physical waste, right? I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Rabbi Aaron has a minhag, which is based on Kabbalah, that before he davens, he always goes to the bathroom. right? That's why, like, if we're in a tiol and he's davening minchas, he'll disappear for 5 minutes, right? So I know this already, and I kind of stall around until he gets back, and, you know, whatever. But that's because you don't want to have waste in your body when you're, you know, bitzilah, attempting to connect to Hashem and whatever else is going on, right? That's not a halacha. By the way, if you have to go to the bathroom, then it is a halacha. But attempting to get every last bit out, that's not a halacha. But it's an idea. So the Rambam says when you're involved in taking the positives in, you first have to get the negative out. Waste you have to remove from your body, right? And it actually turns out that this is very healthy. It affects the way you digest things, right? Now, this is interesting. A person shouldn't eat until he exercises a little bit. Walk, some sort of activity, some sort of exercise before you eat. Like, just to warm up your body. They've discovered now that all sorts of things happen in the first 15 to 20 minutes of non-exertive physical exercise. Right? Now, it's before you break in a sweat. The most obvious is that the body produces endorphins that are released into the bloodstream, and these endorphins produce something akin to an adrenaline high, and they give you energy. And therefore, before you begin whatever processes are, you know, to start your day, it's healthy to have that in your system, right? Or you should do some work. Do something that sort of physically strains you a little bit. Klalo shel davar. What's the rule? Okay? Ya'ane gufo v'yiga kol yom baboker ad sheyatchil gufo lachom. Right? You should do some sort of physical activity and strain yourself a little every morning until you warm up a bit. Now, this is not, we're not talking about like a serious sweat exercise run. I'm not talking about an hour run where you come back and you're drenched. I'm talking about, you know, 10 to 15 minutes that you just get the body working. This is true for all physical things. When you drive a car, okay? So you learn this in the army. When you go out on patrol in the morning, when you start your tank up, you don't just start the tank and drive. You have to first, you know, sort of let the engine idle, which is usually about 750 RPMs. Then you put your foot on the gas. You're still in neutral. You're still in park, whatever. And you rev the engine up to 1,400 RPMs, right? And you let it run for a minute. And what that does is it causes the oil to get into all the systems in the engine. Because what causes wear and tear on an engine more than anything else is when you first start in the day and pieces of metal are sort of, you know, rubbing against each other and there's no lubricant between them, and that wears down the engine. So to save engine, that's what you do. People don't normally do this. It's a mistake, right? They've actually created cars now where the lubricant stays in the entire system somehow through pressure, so you don't have to do this because, you know, we live in a society where any effort is too much. But most cars don't have this. That's how you start your car. 30 seconds, you put a little gas, you let it run through the engine in the system, and your car will last longer, right? It's one of those things that you do that you can't see the results. You can only know them. And so most people don't do this, because if I can't see it and I can't feel it and I don't get my instant gratification, but that happens to be valuable, right? V'yishkot me'at ad she'yitayashev nafsho ve'ochel. Then when you do this little bit of a run or whatever it is that you do, don't right away sit down to eat. Then you got to come down from it. You got to let the body relax a little bit, you know, whether that's a 5-minute walk to the breakfast room or a meditative moment or whatever it might be. And then you eat. And if you bathe in hot water, or in our case, shower, that's even better. And then you stop a little and you eat. In my ideal world, and I'd be interested to see, I'm still processing this, but I'd be interested to see whether there are guys who want to experiment with this on a particular day of the week. I don't think that we're doing minyan in the morning in the ideal way for this generation, right? In other words, I know how minyan, like the way that an 8 o'clock minyan, for example, should work, is that at 7:30 you should be getting out of the shower, after having gotten into the shower at whatever time, after having done 15 to 20 minutes of low grade physical exercise. For some people that's a jog. For some people that's just a good walk, right? And that in between those two, you have some sort of a meditative, you know, like a 20-minute pre-davening sort of mini sheer meditative experience, whatever it might be. And by the time you get to that, and then you eat, right? You take 5-10 minutes and you eat. I told you once that the Tzemach Tzedek believed that it was better to eat in order to daven than to daven in order to eat, right? And I'm putting aside for a moment the halachic challenges and how you could do this. And then you daven. It would mean that at 7:15 you go for this brief piece of exercise, then you have time to shower and get dressed, you come back here at 8:15 for a short mini sheer meditative thought, whatever it might be, in the warm weather up on the roof with a guitar, and then you daven at 8:30, 8:35, be a different davening. You would have a completely different davening experience. And it would be a different start to your day. And if there were 9 guys who wanted, or 10 guys who wanted to experiment with this one day next week, I'd be happy to do it. Maybe not on a Kriyas HaTorah day, just to show you how it works. But anyway, and that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, like, the beginning of your day is how your whole day unfolds. So how do you start that day? Right? And, okay. Le'olam, k'she yochal adam, yeshev bimkomo o yatel small. This is something I noticed. You do this sometimes. I think because there are not enough chairs. Not healthy to eat standing up. It's not healthy to eat standing up on 2 levels. First of all, because there's a yeshuv hadat, there's a relaxing of the mind. There's something that happens. Like, imagine, let's do an experiment. Everybody stand up. Just stand up. Stand up. Now imagine that we're doing, imagine that this is how we're doing shiur. Like, we're doing shiur like this. We're basically here. We're basically learning. We're basically whatever. It's a completely different experience.
Stay awake.
Well, maybe you stay awake. That's a different discussion. When I used to be in shiur sometimes and I would be tired, I would go stand at a shtender, right? And I would, like, sit in the back like this. That would keep me awake. You know, there are pros and cons to that, right? But when you're standing, it changes the energy, right? When you sit down, right, there's like a yeshuv hadat. That's why, I don't know if you notice, there are different opinions, like by Friday night kiddush. Some opinions say that you stand for the whole thing. Some opinions say you stand for the beginning because it's edus, you give testimony. And when you give edut, to give sort of importance to what you're saying in the first half of Kiddush, that Hashem created the world, whatever. But then you sit down for Borei Pri HaGafen, right? Some people only sit down to drink. Everybody eventually sits. My minag, which is a Hasidic minag, is that you go a little bit like this for edus, for testimony of the creation of the world. But that you sit, because there's a yeshuv hadat. And I'll tell you what's interesting. I see this at my Shabbos table. You can see the difference. You can see the difference, and I'm not, God forbid, you know, I mean, there are big, big poskim that say that you should stand, so far be it from me to say that's a problem. But I will tell you that one of the results of sitting, which is why I do this in my home, why my Rebbe does this, is because you see the difference in how it affects the energy around the table and the guests, whatever, when you're sitting for an experience, right? So it's a legitimate question. But certainly when you eat, take the moment, sit down. I'll tell you something else that's interesting. They've done statistical studies. This is something to take with you into life. And they've discovered that children that have regular family dinner, where the entire family sits around the table every night of the week, right, statistically end up with higher IQs and have better grades and somehow do better. That's what they say. My wife once read a study on this.
Correlation. They don't cause each other.
No, actually, that's not true. That's not true. This particular study, and if you want, you can Google it. My wife found this. It fascinated her. Suggests that what happens at those family tables, right, in terms of the interaction and the what it tells the children. Like in our family, we sit down, we have family dinner, and from the time that our children basically were little, they understood that no matter how busy we were, we stopped what we were doing to sit with them. And that gives over a subliminal message to a child that says that I'm important, right? And not only that, but at our table, we want to hear what the kids did that day and what's going on, right? It's sort of a microcosm of a much more elaborate Friday night Shabbos dinner. And they do believe that self-image and anything that contributes to healthy self-image has enormous impact on motivation, on intelligence, on success, and all these different things. So it doesn't really matter. But the point is that yeshuv hadat, being able to sit and focus yourself and put aside the other things that you do when you eat, is a healthy thing. They've even discovered some people sit and eat in front of TV. Very unhealthy to eat while you're doing other things. Right? It affects the way you digest things. You eat too much. It's much healthier to stop what you're doing. You should never eat. Pardon? Same thing.
Really?
Yeah, same thing. And I used to do this all the time. Same thing. When you eat while you're reading, I'm a type A personality. Too many things that I have to do, trying to do too many things at once. The general rule is we delude ourselves into thinking that we can really do 2 things at once. The truth is, whenever you do 2 things at once, you're doing a little less of each of them. Sometimes you accept that. You know, sometimes you're on the phone and you're on your computer and you accept, like, I won't put 100% into this phone call and I know I'm not doing 100% on my computer, but you're okay with that. But at least be aware that that's the reality. If you're reading and you're eating, right, it's affecting the way you read and it's affecting the way you eat. That might be okay for you, but it is a reality, right? So the Rambam is pointing out that that's the image, okay? V'lo yalech, v'lo yirkav, v'lo yigav, v'lo yizazeh gufo, v'lo yitael, ad sheyitakel hamazon shebimeyav. Right? Don't, you know, sort of don't do all of these tiyulim. V'chol hamatayel achar achilato, o sheyageah. And anybody who does exercise or physical work right after he eats, harezeh mevil atzmo chalaim raim v'kashim. It's very unhealthy. This we know today to be scientifically true. It's very unhealthy to exercise while you eat. Does anybody know the reason for this, by the way? Anybody know why? Right? You ever hear your mother said, don't... No. Like, you finish eating and run out to exercise.
Yeah, I remember I had an experience like that where I'd run out to exercise right after I ate, and, like, I remember, like, I just felt like it was, like, coming up on me.
Right, but why? Why is it a problem? It's very simple. Because the body is using its energy to digest for a significant amount of time after you eat, sometimes hours. And if you go out and you're exercising, you're basically diverting some of that body energy towards your exercise, so the body doesn't have enough energy. And I'm oversimplifying this. I'm not talking about the physiological, scientific detail. From digestion. So what happens is your food does not get completely and fully digested, and therefore you have toxins sometimes that sit in areas of your bodies that have not been fully digested, and that's probably why it causes all sorts of challenges and problems. And the Rambam says it causes all sorts of diseases and sicknesses. Not a healthy thing to do, right? One last halacha. Hayom v'halayla, day and night, in other words, the entire period of day and night, from when the sun rises until the sun rises again, Esrim v'arbashot. That's 24 hours, right? In the Rambam's time, that was not a given. That was a system that had sort of come into, you know, whatever, and the Gemara sort of, you know, posits this, and how this came up is interesting historically, but not for our discussion. Dailo la'adam lishon shlishan. It's enough to sleep a third of this time. Shehu shmona shot, which is 8 hours. This is a great example of the Rambam giving you an eitzah that clearly isn't an obligation. It's enough. V'yu b'sof ha'layla, and best is to sleep at the end of the night. Okay? What does that mean? K'dei sheyeh mitchilat shenato ad shetaleh Hashem eshmona shaot. In other words, if sun rises at 6, says the Rambam, go to sleep at 8. At 10. And have 8 hours sleep. That would be the ideal amount of sleep. V'nimtzah made mimitato kodim shetaleh Hashem esh. And if you do that, then you'll end up getting up before the sun rises. Like, the Rambam believes that the healthiest time to arise is when it's first breaking dawn. There's a little bit of light, right? Not good to get up in pure darkness, although we sometimes have to do that, right? But it's not sunrise yet. Now, there is a possibility, the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema in Perek Aleph, I think it's Halacha Yud Aleph, you can look it up, paskins that a person should try to finish Kriya Shema before sunrise. So in the Rambam's ideal world, a person davens and it gets up to Shemoneh Esrei just in time for sunrise, we call that Vatikin, right? But certainly as an ideal, a person sleeps for 8 hours and then wakes up, right? So we'll talk about what that means and, you know, sort of how we do, you know, and deal with that. This raises, by the way, a very interesting question, which I'll leave you with. We'll finish with this. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, says like this, Afal pi, shemitzvah lilmod bayom v'alayla, even though it's a mitzvah to learn day and night, ein adam lamed rov chachmato ela balayla. This is true, by the way. Most of your serious learning happens at night. You know, for boys that don't learn at night, you don't know what you're missing. And for those boys who, you know, will sometimes sit here, you know, late at night, you'll see you accomplish more in 2 hours late at night when you're seriously learning than you do in 4 hours in the day. Why that is an interesting discussion, but it happens to be. I'm not sure why. We could talk about it. Lefichach misha atzal lezakot paketa Torah. If you want to be zocher, if you want to really crown yourself with Torah, you want to be a person of Torah, as opposed to just having explored Torah, yizaher b'chol lelotav v'lo yovad afilu echad mehen b'sheina v'achila v'shtiyah v'sicha. Don't waste your nights on sleeping. That's what the Rambam says. So I understand. The Rambam by us in Hilchot Deot says you should sleep 8 hours. The Rambam over here in Hilchot Talmud Torah says you should try to sleep as little as you can, because don't waste your night on sleeping. The Rambam clearly says that those 8 hours are supposed to be at night, because you're supposed to finish them and wake up in the morning. So how do these two things jive? So think about this, and we'll talk about it as well tomorrow morning. Boker Tov. That would be a neat trick. No, Sunday. Sunday. 9 o'clock, Sunday morning.
What time are you free?
I'm going to make myself free. Hang on 1 second.